Welcome to the Work Camper Show, a podcast devoted to helping you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. I'm Steve Anderson, the president of Work Camper News. Each one of our episodes will either introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to opportunities to work short-term jobs. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Thank you, Steve. Today we're going to talk with a couple who has been RVing for 25 years and doing so full-time for the past 4.5. Today's episode is sponsored by The Dreamer's Journey, a new online course and community produced by Work Camper News. Life is way too short to keep your dreams on hold, so don't be held back by fear because you were designed for more. Get started in the RV lifestyle the right way with this comprehensive guide. Dreamers can participate in 2 online events every week to learn things like what type of RV to buy, goal setting, how to budget for the adventure, developing a positive mindset, where to call home, and how to find a job or start a mobile business. All online events will be recorded for watching anytime. Dreamers can also join an open question and answer session once each month. There's no wrong time to get started. For more information, visit www.rvdreamersjourney.com. Don and Pat Hawes are natives of Massachusetts. They had been RVing for 25 years, but ventured into the full-time lifestyle about 4.5 years ago. They started tent camping, then progressed to a pop-up before getting a travel trailer and finally settling into the 32-foot Jayco Class C motorhome they call home today. They explain why they selected a motorhome and the benefits it provides on the road and while serving as their home. As residents of New England, they spent most of their winters work camping in southern states from Florida to Arizona, but always managed to return to their northern home every summer to spend time with their children and grandkids. They were work camping 20 years ago before they even knew what it was when they were helping in the kitchen and running special events at a seasonal RV park in New Hampshire in exchange for a free website. Much of the work they do while work camping centers around maintaining campgrounds, either as office workers, housekeepers, groundskeepers, or doing general repair. They did spend some time working on a farm, and they'll describe what that job taught them. Don and Pat were the first work campers hired at the Texan RV Park, the site of the National RV Training Academy. In fact, they built several new RV sites and helped develop some of the processes still used to run the park today. Through their experiences, the greatest benefits they've enjoyed have been the people that they've met along the way, whether fellow work campers or campers who are staying at the RV parks. To tell us more about their experiences, please welcome Don and Pat Hawes to the show. Thanks for joining us today, Don and Pat. I really appreciate the time. Now, how long have you folks been RVing?
We've been RVing for probably close to 25 years, but we've been full-time for about 4.5 years. We went full-time in January of 2016. Both of us were retired and decided that we weren't going to wait until someday.
Right. That's a good point. And you said you've been RVing a number of years before that. What got you into RVing in the first place?
I had always camped, and when my wife and I first started dating, we both loved the outdoors, and a lot of our friends and family were into, we started out tent camping, and you know, then we progressed to the pop-up and then to the travel trailer, and now we have a Class C motorhome.
A Class C motorhome. And why did you pick a motorhome?
Well, it was when we decided we wanted to go full-time, we had a real good car. And it was like, okay, do we replace the car and get a truck to tow? We had a bumper pull at that point in time. Do we do that, or do we keep the car and drive and buy a motorhome? And we decided that we could use the Toyota Camry that we had as a runaround car when we were camping someplace, and it would be cheaper than using a big truck.
You're probably right, yes. And I found it easier to park than a fifth wheel, but a lot of people tell me I'm wrong. There's far more living space in a fifth wheel than there is in a motorhome. But I guess
that they say that we have no problem in our 32-foot Jayco, other than there's never enough room for stuff, but we always have too much stuff.
That's right. Absolutely. And so where are you from originally?
We both grew up in Massachusetts.
Okay.
We both lived in New England basically right up until we went full time. But the winters up here can be kind of harsh, and we like the idea of going south for the winter because a lot less snow shoveling.
Yes,
I spent 30 years in the funeral business. I was an embalmer and funeral director. And my wife was a longtime x-ray technician and then owned an answering service, which was how we met, ironically.
Well, that's neat. And so you've been together for quite a few years, I imagine.
We just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary.
Oh, that's neat. So how long have you been work camping? The entire 4 years you've been full-timing?
Yep. We started out, we actually ironically started work camping before we ever even knew what work camping was. We had a seasonal site up in the Lakes region in New Hampshire back 20 years ago. And we ran the kitchen and special events up there in exchange for our site. We had never heard the word work camping or anything else. But then when we went full time, we decided that work camping, the advantage of that was, you know, getting your site as part of your compensation. The first winter that we went full time, we didn't do a whole lot of work camping. But then since then, we've done a lot of work camping. We've been work camping at the Texan RV Park down in Athens, Texas, the home of the National RV Training Academy. We were actually the first work campers hired there when Mr. Cooper and Mr. Anderson bought the place.
Well, that's an interesting story in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful park, by the way, for people who've never been there.
It's got very nice. A lot of changes have gone on in the last couple of years. The owners and the managers there have done an incredible job of expanding and, you know, improving the facilities and making it better for all the students.
Mm-hmm. Did you take any of the technical training classes while you were there?
I took Mr. Cooper's class when we first went full-time back in 2016. I took Mr. Cooper's training class in New Braunfels, Texas. We went to our first work camper rendezvous in Heber Springs, Arkansas in 2016. And then I took the training for level 2 RV inspector in Waco, Texas in 2016. So I actually had done most of the training before they even opened the academy.
Oh, that's right. Back when they were the Mobile RV Academy, traveling from place to place around the country. Mm-hmm. Super. So you entered the RV lifestyle fully trained as a technician and an inspector. Well, kind
Jack of
as
of
a
all
technician.
Trades and master of nothing.
That's right. Super. And what about you, Pat? What attracted you to RVing and work camping?
Well, I always liked camping anyway. Like Don said, I enjoyed going to the different parks that we went to, and doing the seasonal thing was kind of neat because we were up in the middle of New Hampshire, which is a beautiful area anyway, right on Squam Lakes. And we actually decided one night we would tent camp, or actually in a lean-to on Squam Lake, and one of them, the little Squam.
Yep.
And we did it just because we hadn't been in a tent for so long. So we decided we'd do that. And it was quite interesting. It was a beautiful night, but my husband decided he wanted to stay laying outside in a sleeping bag on the lean-to that they had there. But I said, I'm going in the tent. You can stay outside if you want. It was absolutely beautiful, but I have always enjoyed that. And I think the thing that attracted me to going to travel was to see most of our beautiful country that we live here. We never get a chance, or we say we're always going to go see this or that, you know, travel out of our comfort zone, if you will, and we never do. So when we started talking about this, Don had researched the work camping end of it, you know, being a work camper and being able to go see things for quite a long time. And so he was well-versed on that and what was available out there and so on and so forth. So we just bit the bullet, bought a Class C, and decided to keep the car like he said and just hit the road. And one of the first things we went to was to see in Arizona the Grand Canyon, which was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. It was a gorgeous sight, and something I thought I'd never get to see, but we absolutely all loved it. And at the time we had my brother traveling with us as well. So we just had a great time, and we continued to look in Arizona at different parts of Arizona, which is a great take in itself. But we went to a few different states. We'd like to do some more. We've kind of been in Texas for a while. Texas is great and has its beautiful parts too, but you know, you want to see a little bit more of the country. So we're kind of trying to plan to do that. And this is what leads us to Dawn and I doing some of this virtual work to help with that. So maybe we don't have to work camp as much. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. This is what we're hoping anyway.
I'm in Arizona. I live there and I've been up to the Grand Canyon a number of times, and they actually have a campground right next to the rim in one section of the park. And my goodness, what a gorgeous view that is.
Oh, I bet.
Super. So what do you like most about the experience?
I think the biggest part for me is meeting people. I'm a very much a people person. I've always been in healthcare for a long, long time, many different hats. I was a manager of a radiology department. I also was a working manager. I didn't just manage, but I also owned an answering service, like Dawn said, which again was working with people. I had to hire my own staff and everything. So I have always been a people person, and I kind of enjoy going across the country and meeting and realizing, hey, they're not as different as we think they are, just because they live in a different part of the country. We've met a lot of nice people. We've also educated ourselves too on how different, yet we're all in the same country, but how different lifestyles can be from one state to another. So it was kind of neat. I enjoy that. And so work camping for me, I prefer to do, like, I'd rather be physical doing housekeeping, because you meet a lot of people doing the housekeeping end of things. They're more apt to share with you their feelings on how they see the park, you know, positives. And sometimes you get a few comments that are, you know, helpful, because if you don't have people telling you how things are going or how they see it, then you can't improve, you know. So it's been a great experience for me, mm-hmm, in that aspect, because I'm pushing 70 and I still feel like I've got a lot of energy to offer. So I would like to keep going, you know. And if I can do a little help, like Dawn and I talk about a lot, if we can help, like run a special event or something like that in any park that we're in, we're willing to do any of that. So, and we've been asked to do those things. Dawn's very, very good with that stuff. He's got great vision when it comes to putting something together, and he needs to utilize that. So, and when he's asked to do those things, we try to do it as a couple, and which we often do. But it's been a wonderful experience too.
That's great. I'm sure that some of the campgrounds really enjoy having work campers come in and provide sort of fresh eyes on their operations, because they're too close to it. So they get in there, and a work camper might say, why do you do it this way? Why don't you do it that way? And it's like, why did we never think of it?
And right.
So that's right. A neat little partnership.
That's the thing about the Texan RV park, because these Steve Anderson and Terry Cooper and that group never really have owned a campground, that, you know, I know those guys appreciate the fact that, you give them a little input into things, and they, you're right. They have never, I didn't know, you know, it could be could go this way, or what a great idea to do this. Let's try it out. You know, they're usually willing to try certain things out. I know they're geared towards their main thing is the school, but they're still open for suggestions and so on and so forth, which is really good. You know, I mean, even if they don't try it initially, it's in the back. They have it on a list. It's in the back of their head that maybe some point they can put it into practice. Sure. So I think it's good, you know, and like I said, it's great to meet people that own these campgrounds and these facilities and things. So, and they often are hungry for work campers that will kind of push them a bit, if you will, you know, push the bar a little bit to improve their businesses. So I think it's good working relationship. I mm-hmm. really do.
What about you, Don? What do you like most about the work camping and RVing experience?
I have to agree with Pat. She is spot on. The part that we both like the best, and we've had this conversation many times, is just the interpersonal connections. We've met some absolutely fantastic people, both that have been work campers, but also that have just been guests at the different parks that we've been at. Mm-hmm. Not just people we've worked with or worked for, although we haven't really worked for anybody. We've been very, very blessed mm-hmm. when it comes to our work camping experiences, that every place we've worked, for the most part,
you don't feel like
you're working for somebody. You're working with mm-hmm. your superiors, for lack of a better description, whether it be the owners or the managers, and you feel valued. But we love the personal interaction. I mean, I've always, when I was in the funeral business, I always took care of the grounds. So, you know, I love doing landscape, or I loved before I had physical ailments that prevented it, but I loved doing landscaping and, you know, making places look nice and everything else. But the people thing is the big aspect. Anybody that, even people that are not extroverts, just being with somebody or being around a group of people on a regular basis, you feel comfortable, and the next thing you know, you're part of the group. And, you know, you don't have to be a people person, but that's the best part of the whole thing.
I think that's what attracts a lot of people to the RV lifestyle, is the ability yes. to get out and meet people at the campground next door, or, you know, at some common area within the RV park. And they're developing some really close friendships and learning things about other yep. people and from other people all the time.
Mm-hmm. We still stay in touch with people that we have work camped with that we haven't seen in 2 or 3 years. Just because, you know, we made that close personal connection 3 years ago when we work camp together, and we still stay in touch. And you know, people that we've work camped at the Texan RV park since we got there in July of 2017, mm-hmm. we still stay in touch with at least half of the people we've worked with since we started there.
That's fun. What other types of jobs have you had while you've been work camping?
Pat primarily has done housekeeping. I've done groundskeeping. I've done maintenance. I've done office work. I've done carpentry. I've, you know, again, jack of all trades, master of nothing. Unfortunately, now medically, I can't do a lot of the heavy work, the physical work. I have to have reverse total replacement surgery when we get back to Texas in the fall. I just have a large litany of medical issues, mm-hmm. which is what led us to doing now more virtual stuff. Most of my work camping now, even the last part of the time we were at Texan RV Park, I was in the office. Because I've always been computer oriented. Even when I was in the funeral business, I did, you know, I maintained the computer network and did a lot of the office work, so to speak. And the advantage of doing the office at the campground is I still get to see the guests. I still get to talk with the people and interact with the people. So it's kind of like a win-win. I don't have to physically beat myself up, but I still get the people connection.
Have you primarily been working campground jobs the entire time?
Yeah, for the most part, although we did work one season when we had worked full-time at a KOA in Arizona, middle of nowhere. The nearest Walmart was an hour away, so you knew you were in the middle of nowhere. And we met a couple that owned a family farm up in Minnesota. And they put in an RV pad next to the barn up in Minnesota and asked us to come up. I drove truck at the family farm up in Minnesota for the summer. Beautiful area. We'd never been to Minnesota. So we went up there. It was beautiful area. Loved the area, loved the sites, loved the people that we worked for. The disadvantage or the downside is it was just us and them. You didn't get a lot of the public interaction that we had at other campgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I'll tell you the one thing that it did do for us by going up to a farm like that, it was a big corn and
soybean
farm, gave me a great appreciation. And I think Don too, for how hard these people work. For what they do. It's just amazing to me. I mean, I knew farming is, even though they have now more equipment that they use too, you still have to have people running the equipment, know what they're doing. And this gentleman that Don worked for was very, very smart in that area, an elderly man, but he still worked every day. He did a lot of the heavy equipment stuff. He taught anybody that worked for him, he taught them. A lot. Mm-hmm. He had the best farms in the area. And I'll tell you, I just left there with a great appreciation for farming and what the families who farm and the people that work for them do every day to produce for the United States and the world. It's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. In your current positions, what kind of tasks are you generally doing?
Well, I had been doing the groundskeeping when we first started at Texan RV Park. They were doing a lot of renovation to the park. So we were, you know, installing utilities. They added new sites. We were doing some site construction, getting ready. This was before the Big Red Schoolhouse was even built. Then we moved on as, you know, my limitations became more. I moved more to just landscaping or groundskeeping, you know, mowing the grass. That Texan RV Park has 37 acres of beautiful countryside, as you well know, you've been there. So there's a lot of grass to mow, a lot of
weed whacking
to do and everything else. Anybody that's ever worked camped at a large facility knows that there's always something to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then now I've been just in the office and helping out. I got licensed to dispense propane in Texas. So I was doing a lot of propane refills. The Texan RV Park has a propane refilling station. So whether it be a motorhome or just the tanks, we'd fill their stuff for them. And like I said, the last few months, I've just been in the office. And sometimes you pick brains and, you know, the managers would ask questions. I'd offer suggestions. Sometimes they worked, sometimes they didn't. And Pat primarily was doing housekeeping. And, you know, anytime there was something special, like when they had the expo for the NRVIA a couple of years ago, this last one was obviously virtual, but the one before, we helped with cooking some meals before the expo started and
did breakfast.
And, you know, we've done fires a couple times. We've done an outdoor movie night a couple times. When Road Life Project had their fall fest back year before last, we did a hayride for the kids and the people there at the rallies and type of thing. So it's kind of, you know, anybody that's work camp knows that, you know, regardless of what your job is, you may be asked to help out with anything.
Mm-hmm. Have you faced any challenges either RVing or while work camping?
Well, the biggest challenge my wife has is putting up with me.
Yeah.
The biggest challenge I've been dealing with lately is just, you know, as we get older, your capabilities suffer. You know, I used to pride myself on being able to keep up with the young guys, no matter what it was, lifting, carrying, mowing, walking, so on and so forth. And just over the years, that's gone away. So the biggest challenge now is mental, is trying to keep myself occupied. I don't sit very well and do nothing. So that's why we have started going to the computer-based stuff, because it's something I can do that's not as physically taxing as, you know, running a lawnmower for 8 hours a day or running a weed whacker or that type of thing.
Okay. Very good. Have you faced any challenges either while RVing or while work camping yourself, Pat?
I'd say the only thing is, like John said, as you realize, as you get older, you can't do things as quickly or as for a long period of time as you used to be able to do. So, but the nice part about a lot of the work camping positions I've had as a housekeeper, if you will, I could pace my own, do my own pace, and it worked out well for me. And you're only required, again, you know, I didn't go into it to work 40 hours a week, because I could have stayed working at my job if that's what I wanted was the 40 hours. But it's nice to have, you know, they ask you to do 10 hours or 15 hours, whatever the case might be, or 20 hours between the two of you. And I think that works out well for a person like myself. I'm always willing to, if there is a need and they need a helping hand because they're really busy and they could use another housekeeper, I'm always willing to be there for that. But I don't find that happens very often, but there are occasions when they have asked to pitch in and do a particular project, which is great. I have no problem with that. But, you know, I think that's the only challenge that I have seen from my perspective. I just, I like doing what I do. I try to do as much as I can, but I'm very honest with them when I tell them, this is what I can do for you. I know what my limits are. I don't have any major physical limits at all at this point, which is good. God's been good to me. So
that's good.
But you know, I just do what I can do, and that's it. And I want to, you know, I think we all are in it so we can enjoy a little bit of life too, and not work. And I think most campgrounds that hire work campers got that. They understand that, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
So, yeah.
What are some of the perks that you folks have been able to enjoy while work camping?
Well, being, we get our, we're very appreciative of having our campsite given, you know, we earn it. We work so many hours and they give you your campsite. Some places give you the laundry. Like in Arizona, we just had to pay electric bill, which wasn't bad at all. But you also get the availability of activities outside the campground that they maybe have tickets for and things like that. You know, you can get in on getting a break on that as a work camper. Just little things like that, being a part of, I think, being in the know, knowing what's going on. Like the one that we stayed at in Arizona was an ATV camp park. Mm-hmm. And the amazing part was these people that stayed there came back every season. They all knew each other. And so it was, you could get a ride on an ATV out into the desert. Mm-hmm. Those are the things I think that for me, were nice, you know. And if you're in a certain area, people who know the area well are willing to tell you the best places to go, the best places to eat, what you can get for your money. You know, I mean, I just think it's really, that's really great. I mean, if I'm staying in a hotel or a motel, I might go down and ask the desk clerk, you know, and they may know or they may not. But I think when you get firsthand knowledge like that from people who have actually been and done, it's really wonderful.
Sure.
So for me, that's what I like. The perks that I like are getting that. And then I guess making money. Some people like to make the money, an hourly rate. I'm okay with that too. I mean, everybody could use a little extra pocket money. But that's not what I look for. I think if we get our site and those few things, for the most part, we're happy with that. So, okay.
Very good. Where are some of the places that you've traveled in your time on the road?
Well, we've done an awful lot of the southern tier. You know, we've been to Florida and Georgia and Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana. Yeah. Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, Oklahoma. We did Minnesota.
Yeah.
We keep saying every year that we're going to do, we want to do like the Dakotas. We want to do Wyoming, the upper Midwest, that type of thing. But our kids and grandkids are back in New England. So it's kind of a tough decision to not come back to see them for the summer and go someplace else.
That's right.
I always say that mama needs to see the grandkids, but it's not just mama. I miss the grandkids when we're not around too. So we've done most of the southern part. Oklahoma was beautiful. New Mexico was incredible. Arizona, Texas is the amazing part about Texas is you basically can see all different kinds of scenery and lifestyles all with just within the one state. It's, you know, it's like 900 miles from that side to side.
It is big. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, every place we've gone has had its own unique advantages and disadvantages too, but its own allure. Every place has been different, but it's all been the same in that it's all been enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've done the desert, we've done the lush farmland, we've done Florida, we've done, you know, the bayou country, so to speak, but every place is different, but it's all got something to entice you. Something to make you regret leaving.
Right. And you had mentioned a common problem that a lot of grandparents have. If you want to have impact in the lives of your grandchildren, that does require contact. And so a lot of people tell me the same thing. They need to go back home for a little while just to maintain that essential contact. Or when the kids are older, they hop in the RV and go with grandpa and grandma on an adventure. So that's kind of nice. So where are you planning to go next?
We're not really sure. We're going back to Texan RV Park in Athens when we leave New England in September. As I mentioned earlier, I have to have reverse total shoulder replacement surgery, which is going to keep us there probably till the first of the year. And then we're still not sure. A lot's going to depend on how my rehab goes and everything else. You know, I can still do the bookkeeping. I can still do the virtual assistant stuff. We're both RV lifestyle ambassadors. So the need to necessarily, quote unquote, work camp a lot may not be there, hopefully.
Okay.
Because we can, you know, make the income doing the virtual stuff. And then that way... The disadvantage of work camping, if there is a disadvantage, is the long-term commitment that you have to be there for the whole season. Usually that's great, but if you know, if you're going to spend 6 months in one place, you've got to decide that one place. Mm-hmm. If you want to stay short term, there are some short term work camping jobs, but not as many of them. Okay. Whereas if you own your own business, whether it be an RV tech or an RV inspector or a bookkeeper or, you know, freelance writer, whatever the case may be, if we've got internet and power, we can work pretty much from anywhere.
That is an advantage. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have any do you have any advice that you would give to people who are considering becoming a work camper or jumping into the RV lifestyle?
I do. Number one, I do the research. I mean, I probably researched the RV full-time RV lifestyle and work camping probably for 3, 4, 5 years before we went. I used to commute an hour to an hour and a half each way every day to work. So I'd have a podcast going, whether it be RV Daily Report, which I think you're familiar with, or I used to follow Living the RV Dream with John and Kathy Huggins.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. A lot of places just to get the information. And if I had to give anybody one piece of advice, don't wait.
That's right. That's what John and Kathy Huggins always say. You think you're going to do it someday, but someday never comes for a lot of people. And
well,
once you-
there's an RV video blog that we follow, and their biggest thing is, you know, today is someday.
Mm-hmm. That's but right. Yes.
I also think, though, Greg, being looking at it from a different perspective, you want to be prepared, though. And so I think what Don said is very true, to research out, because if you just jump in and buy a rig and start out on the road and you haven't realized that how many things you really need to do for yourself with insurance and health insurance and all these other things that you don't think about, because I know I didn't when we first started deciding to go ahead and do this. I was like, oh, wait a minute. What happens with insurance? What happens with this? What happens with that? And financially, you know, you want to make sure that you have the money until you really start getting into what you want to do, work camping or whatever it is you might want to do to earn some income. I know some families we've met, they have been on the road, but these are younger people that are still kind of working, if you will, and they can work from the road. And that's always a great thing. It gives them the income. We've met some very nice people that do that. And, but if you're not at that point where, you're like, for me, I was retired. I didn't have that option for me. So work camping was going to be the way we were going to make a little bit of money. But then you get to that point where you got to think about all your insurances and all that stuff. You got to make sure money wise that you're going to be able to cover it. Because I hate to see somebody get out on the road and then all of a sudden they're, you know, sitting there going, how the heck are we going to do this?
That's right.
You got to, you know, get from point A to point B, and you got to maintain your equipment that you have. Your RV is important, you know, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think, yeah, research, look into every aspect. There's a lot of help out there. I can't say enough about Work Camper News is a tremendous resource. And the girls in that office and Steve Anderson, I mean, we've known them for a while now, and man, they are so helpful. It's a great, great resource. And yeah. And I also, I mean, I, FMCA, they have been great. We joined them. That's another area to look into because they do provide a lot of stuff. And NRVTA, there's just a lot of things out there that if you research it out, it'll fit your need, whatever your need is.
Learning, you know, how to fix your own RV would be really important.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, if somebody's thinking about doing it but not sure that they can afford it,
yeah,
there are a myriad of opportunities for somebody that wants to work on RVs, whether it be just their own or if they want to make it a business. The National RV Training Academy mm-hmm. is instrumental in helping people learn how to fix either their own RVs or the need for RV technicians in this lifestyle right now is so enormous that the courses that they have at the NRVTA, not to sound like an advertisement for them, but the level of education that somebody can receive, they can literally take the classes and the information that they gain from going to the NRVTA and turn it into a successful business where, as Steve Anderson says, they can work where they want, when they want, for how long they want.
Mm-hmm. That is a good point.
And doing the work for yourself rather than for somebody else.
Super. Well, thank you very much, guys. I really appreciate the time. This has been great information. It sounds like work camping has been good for you.
It's been very, very good. This lifestyle, God has been very good to us. And we feel very blessed to get to know the people that we've met on the road. And hopefully once this COVID is all over and done with, we'll be able to meet more people. Unfortunately, Rendezvous got canceled this year and, you know, training at the NRVTA has changed and everything else, but we'll all get through it and move forward.
That's great. Well, thank you again for the time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Greg. Have a good one.
I appreciate the opportunity to interview Don and Pat Hawes about their experience as RVers and work campers. They certainly are enthusiastic about the lifestyle and the doors it opened for them to see a wide swath of America. One thing that Don and Pat did before they started their full-time RV lifestyle was research every aspect of RVing. They listened to podcasts, they joined online groups, they attended classes. They were very well prepared for whatever awaited them on their adventure. They're slowing down a bit this fall when they return to Texas, where Don needs to have shoulder surgery and spend some time recovering from that. They are still looking for jobs they can do remotely over the internet. The couple doesn't need the money, they said, but like Pat noted, they do like to have some extra spending money on their journey. They have enjoyed immersing themselves into several different cultures, trying new foods, seeing new places, and meeting new people. They've held jobs in one of the most remote parts of Arizona, but also works near some larger cities too. Each job offered them a rewarding experience. However, they've been very honest with their employers right up front regarding the types of jobs they were comfortable doing and admitting that there were some tasks they just couldn't physically handle. That transparency worked to nurture close working relationships. As experienced RVers and campers, the Hawes shared their insight with campground owners who were appreciative of their suggestions regarding ways to improve the RV parks. The jobs also increased Don and Pat's own skills by challenging them to try new things they'd never done before. Like Don said, every place is different, but it's got something to entice you, something to make you regret leaving, and that's how positive memories are built. The biggest lessons they learned was to seek education before even venturing out on the adventure. Fortunately, Work Camper News can teach you about the RV lifestyle and how to find great jobs. The National RV Training Academy can show you how to fix common problems most RVers will encounter in their own rigs. Both Work Camper News and NRVTA can teach you how to start mobile-based businesses. Don't forget, if you're new to the RV lifestyle or even just wondering if it's for you, the RV Dreamer's Journey from Work Camper News can tell you everything you need to know about the lifestyle. It was developed from the shared experiences of tens of thousands of people who already blazed their own paths. You can avoid the mistakes made by others and learn the tips and secrets that make full-time RVing so memorable. Be sure to check it out at www.rvdreamersjourney.com. The National RV Training Academy's one-week live training or home study course will teach you everything you need to know to fix about 80% of the problems people experience with their RVs. You can also sign up for additional training to become an RV inspector, campground technician, or to provide mobile RV service. For more information, visit www.nrvta.com. That's all we have for this week's show. We'll see you next week on The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.